Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Beavs, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Number 3 here on Danny and Dusty. Dusty down at Ducks Media Day. Jeff Russ behind the glass. Pushing the buttons. Pushing my buttons.
Yikes.
Whether you're listening on 10:08 a.m. The Fan.
Meow.
Meow. Everybody who's watching on YouTube right now, thoroughly disgusted by the face that I just made. And you too can watch along on youtube.com/1080amthefan or twitch.tv/1080amthefan. If you were listening earlier, I was really marveling at the size disparity in one of the Team USA's women's volleyball teams.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some internet sleuthing. Taryn Clough and Kristen Nuss both played together in college. I was like, I wonder how tall the shorter one, Kristen Nuss. I was like, she looks like she's like 5'2". Well, it turns out she's 5'6".
Uh-huh.
Her partner, Taryn Clough, 6'4". So there's a 10-inch disparity between the two, which is why it looked like she had a little mini me on the beach court, as it were. So there you go. There's your squirrel moment change. As I just was enamored by just how much bigger yeah. the one was than the other. Like, normally there's a size disparity, but I was like, dang, she's huge. And the other one looks so tiny. I'm always in awe of stuff like that. I tell you who's not in awe of change. Every coach in college basketball not currently in the Big East. Why would you say that, Danny? The ACC is super strong, and the Big 12 is becoming a basketball conference, and the SEC has never been stronger, and blah, blah. The Big East does not have football to worry about,
yeah.
which means they aren't spending on football,
mm-hmm.
which means all of their money goes to basketball. And while there is currently a cap emerging in college football, there isn't one in college basketball.
Nope.
So if you're a Big East team, you could, I don't know, be like UConn and say, we now rule college basketball because we don't have a salary cap. We don't have any rules or restraints that are placed upon us. And we can use all of our money, which, let's be honest, that's what they're using it for already, because UConn doesn't really care about football. I'm still shocked that they have a football program.
Right?
They just don't care. They're not going to participate at the highest of levels.
Yeah.
Them and Xavier and Georgetown and St. Joe's, they can all go out there and not care about football and spend every penny they generate on basketball. And they could have the most uneven playing field in all of college sports. You could see a million SMUs basically running around where they just go, yeah, well, you know, some schools, you know, they have to worry about the 20, you know, plus million dollars a year that they're going to put into their football programs. Well, meanwhile, we don't have to worry about a penny of that.
Yeah.
And instead, we can put $10, $12, $15 million to basketball, which is a smaller overall investment, but it still works out better for us because we're a basketball school anyways. Mm-hmm. And now, if you aren't aware in the disparities in NIL as it pertains between football and basketball, yes, football has more overall money.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball has more higher earners in that because basketball rosters are 15 people, and one basketball player can make significantly more impact, it is not unusual for a $1.5 or $2 million NIL deal to go to a basketball player. Now, once we get down the road of all of this money being made public because government oversight or however it gets done, you're going to go, oh, what? But if you're wondering how BYU all of a sudden just got two of the higher level prospects in the country, or how Rutgers all of a sudden got two of the top five prospects in the country,
yeah,
it's NIL. Ace Bailey and Dylan Edwards aren't going to Rutgers because of the long historic basketball tradition at Rutgers. They're going there to one, to play together, but two, because of the NIL. It's the same reason why Modest Buzelis and Ron Holland and Scoot Henderson went to the G League Ignite, because the path that existed previously, it meant go to the Ignite to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to see this. Now that college football has been wrangled, what happens in college basketball? Not nearly as many people care about college basketball in the manner and shape that it does around college football. So you're not going to have the political movers and shakers that are shaking their fists. Mm-hmm. What you might have are some either political or financial affluent folks in the SEC rattle enough sabers, same thing in the Big 12,
mm-hmm.
to go, whoa, 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 whoa. We need to talk to our folks in D.C. We can't have the Big East running roughshod. Problem is, those Big East teams got a lot of power down in D.C. as well. They have teams in the region.
Yeah.
And you might have those D.C. folks who just kind of go, I know what you're talking about.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Looks fine to me. You know, Steve Buscemi looking in opposite directions. Yeah. You know. But nobody really knows which way it's going to go. Nate Oates, head coach at Alabama, is actually on record. He says that's a problem as a reference to the Big East. As long as it's equitable across all the high major schools, you're fine. But if one's got $22 million and one's got $5 million, that's a problem. We're not going to be able to compete. They haven't thought everything through. Well, no. They haven't thought everything through in college football. So you're not going to see it trail in basketball yet. This is Todd Golden, head coach at Florida. You have all these great basketball schools, and they have no football, and they have to take care of. So, yeah, definitely, we're worried about that. This is not anonymous SEC coach. This is two SEC coaches already on record before we even get to the season talking about how this is a problem. That lets you know how afraid they are.
Yeah.
This isn't, well, you know, they were not permitted to speak because of the confidentiality of the deal. No, this is two SEC coaches reaching out to the Athletic and going, hey, we need this out there. This ain't fair. This is a problem. Because they know that although they have more money than God,
yeah,
that right now there is an institutional crutch that the Big East can take advantage of, in that they're foregoing football. And it's also interesting when you think about the Big 12 and how they position themselves. The Big 12 has positioned themselves as a basketball conference.
Yeah.
Does it look like they have all the leverage in the world right now? Or does it look like the Big East does?
Right.
The big worry, This is from The Athletic, the line here. The big worry inside college athletics is how to suddenly add $20 to $23 million in expenses and figure out how to balance a checkbook. At the high major levels, particularly in the leagues like SEC and Big Ten, finding the money to get to that max payout is not going to be an issue. But athletic departments will need to make key budget decisions, and in many cases, a good chunk of the new pay-for-play budget will have to come through fundraising. One impact could be an end to the facilities arms race, which we've talked about here.
Yeah.
Because in the past, boosters couldn't give money to players. So what they would do is you'd build a gym or a weight room or a training facility or a practice field that was better than what exists in the NBA and NFL. I'm not kidding when I say that there are multiple colleges across this country whose training facilities in college on both basketball and football levels are better than almost every NFL and NBA facility by orders of magnitude.
Yeah.
Look, I am in the locker room every night for the Trailblazers home games.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the most incredible locker room I've ever seen.
Right.
It's entirely fine.
Yeah.
But there's no monitors in the lockers. There's no, you know, private sound systems. What they have is a safe, a big space,
mm-hmm.
and everything that they need as far as, well, there are jerseys and undergarments and socks and underwear and lotions and shampoos and sprays and towels. But it's not, their chairs are nice. They're not custom made for each player.
Right.
There's locker rooms that they take your measurements. They get you custom chairs.
Man.
You've got full entertainment systems, PS5s, Xboxes.
Yeah.
Built-in cable or streaming. Like every bell, every was it Arizona last year? They've got the massage chairs.
Oh, yeah?
At every locker.
Wow.
Like full-on, like crazy massage chairs. So, like, there's this arms race and has been for years. Go down. If you have the opportunity to go take a tour of the Ducks facilities. Ducks facilities are top in class.
Yeah.
Phil has spared no expense. It's incredible. Now, they have the ugliest court in basketball history, but the rest of their facilities, ladies and gentlemen, holy crap.
Yeah. I believe they have at least tweaked the court for this year.
Yeah, thank God. I think, look, Duck bias aside. That thing was heinous.
Yeah, it was tough to watch.
It was bad. Yeah. It was physically hard to watch.
Hard on the eyes.
Yeah. But their facilities are world-class. LSU, Florida, Alabama, Georgia. You see these locker rooms and you're just going, holy crap. They're meccas to football God. They're literal temples to all of the football players that came before them.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing on the basketball side, except for, and again, basketball locker room, 15 people.
Yeah.
Not 100.
Right.
So it gets spiced up a little bit.
Yes.
So the next time you see an NBA or a college basketball player completely iced out and driving a Hellcat and also getting $1.5 million on top of everything else, you start to understand the landscapes that we're playing on. So it's going to be really interesting to see what ends up happening when all of this football stuff gets settled. Does the basketball stuff take a couple years?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a driving force behind it to really wrangle it? Because right now, this is the first flare that's been shot up about this mm-hmm. publicly. I've heard about it behind closed doors for the last couple of years. But in college football, how long have we heard about this for, Jeff?
But, yeah.
A decade?
Right.
That momentum just isn't there on the college basketball side yet. So it's going to be really interesting to see kind of do they do it alongside college football, or does it take a couple years and all of a sudden the Big East takes a swath out of college basketball and says, this is ours now, and get momentum started, and they become the SEC.
Man.
Because that's really what happened is the SEC said, we're just not going to play by anybody else's rules, and we don't care.
Yeah.
And we're going to be good about it, and we're not going to get caught. Well, the Big East, if this continues, or if this is allowed to operate in this manner, they can go out and do it legally. And they could get so far out ahead of everyone else that it would take a literal decade to catch back up. And you say, well, they'll make the money even, and they can figure it out down the stretch. I don't know if that's true. Because they might have so much momentum going in their favor that you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I've had volleyball on in here apparently the whole morning. It's only fitting that we find a way to talk some volleyball. Chase Budinger has made one of the coolest changes in all of sports. Could we see perhaps another international basketball player make a change of sports? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
One of the big storylines in the Paris Olympics for Team USA is the transition of Chase Budinger from professional basketball player to professional volleyball player. It's a big story because people aren't aware that Chase Budinger was the best player in volleyball in the country coming out of high school. The 6'7" Budinger, who played for the Minnesota Timberwolves, was a 2006 McDonald's All-American Game co-MVP with Kevin Durant, which... I went back and looked at the stats in that game. Not, I don't mean like the actual scoring stats. I wanted to see what size these guys were listed at. Hilariously, Kevin Durant was listed at 6'11", 240. You could put two Kevin Durants together and you're barely getting 240 pounds. That he was 240 pounds in high school is hilarious. He's maybe 190. But I digress. Chase Budinger is one of the best athletes on the planet. He is a 6'7" freak with a 40-plus inch vertical. He was the volleyball national player of the year coming out of high school. So let's refresh. McDonald's All-American basketball player that was co-MVP with Kevin Durant and the volleyball national player of the year. This should not come as a surprise, like, oh, he made the transition to volleyball. No, he was one of the best volleyball players on the planet 20 years ago.
Just a little bit of athletic ability in that one, huh?
Yeah, it's like, everybody's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe he transitioned to volleyball. Like, the way it's being told is just like, people are forgetting that, no, he was the best volleyball player in the country. Yes, turns out the guy at 6'7" with insane hops and otherworldly hand-eye coordination, really good at volleyball. I don't want to downplay like the significance of this, because it is insane that he's playing at an Olympic level while playing at an NBA level in basketball. But the idea like that he made this like late career transition, no, he just, this is like going to your fallback school. Like, it was always there, folks. He didn't learn a new sport. He was very, very, very good at it. The flip side of this, and I think this is a conversation that comes up quite often, is what professional athlete could transition to what sport and how would they do it and everything that kind of goes along with that. The one for me is always interesting of like what NBA player could do this or one NFL player could do this, but there's always one professional athlete that has an irrational level of self-confidence. And that's what we get when you give the microphone to the Minnesota Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards. Jeff Rust.
And what, ping pong? No,
that's them right there.
Actually, this is perfect. I got some people talking about they going to beat me in ping pong 21-0. I don't believe it. I'm not having it. 11-0. I'm scoring 1 point.
No way.
1 point. I'm scoring.
I mean, there's only one way to try it out.
What? Okay. How? When we going to do that? Whenever.
That was Ant Edwards, and the some people he was talking about is Team USA's women's table tennis team. That's the some people that he's talking to there.
He's not scoring a point.
Not a single one. Not one. Not a single point. Not a point at all. He can hit that ball as hard as he wants against that table. It does not matter. My old football coach, Craig Schimmel. Shout out Shim. He's coaching down at Cambie with Jimmy Joyce. Ping pong master. We'd have ping pong week every year, every semester in gym class with him. And he loved that week. He'd bring out his own paddle. And he was always like, if you think you can beat me. And he would proceed to whoop everyone's ass.
Yeah.
I mean, annihilate them in a fashion that was just hilarious every single time. And he's not an Olympic ping pong player. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched these people play ping pong. There's like... I was jokingly watching with my wife.
I was watching some of it yesterday.
I would grab like household objects and tee it up the same way ping pong players do. Have you noticed everyone has like their own little way that they like?
Yes.
They cradle the ball.
Yeah. And yeah.
I need that clean.
I'm not sure it was clean. I'll take a look.
But they do. They have like their own unique way that they present it and then like hide it. Like it's like a magician.
Yeah.
And then they set it up and they do all these weird little things to it. Like.
Like mind the stepchildren.
Exactly. Perfect. But it is very interesting. And then you watch them do the way they put spin on it and the playing it short, playing it long, playing angles. And like there's opportunities where there's not a chance in hell that you think this person is going to get to this ball. Not only they get to it, they put it on the furthest corner of the table with such obscene spin that it goes the other way. And you're like, how did you manage to do it with this little tiny plastic ball and like a rubber mat on your ping pong paddle?
Right?
Yes, it's ping pong.
Yeah.
It's not table tennis.
Yeah. Whatevs.
So
it's amazing to me though how down low to the table, close to the table, most of them are serving from. It's like it seems like they dropped that ball, I don't know, an inch maybe.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
It's like they throw it up in the air or they like let go of it on the way down.
It's weird.
And
yeah.
then blink. And it, yep. it's, I had a buddy who, in the Air Force who, did like Olympic qualifiers. I want to say it's like 2005, 2006 that he was that good at it.
Mm.
And I played racquetball with him. I refused to play ping pong with him, but it was the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Just embarrassed the living hell out of me.
Right.
I ran into the wall a dozen times trying to play off the angles that he was playing. Like, like it's they're supercomputers in their brain with the hand-eye coordination stuff.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't get this. But I love the irrational confidence of some professional athletes with other sports. But there's also like the very real confidence of guys like Chase Budinger who are so otherworldly gifted at athletes that, yes, they can participate in a sport in basketball where you're one of the top 500 players on the planet,
yeah.
but also in volleyball where you're one of the top 50 players
right.
on the planet.
It's a bit crazy.
Again, different pools of players,
yes.
but still. Look, outside of the U.S., volleyball, go to China, go to Russia. Russia, they're out there paying women $200,000 a year to play volleyball. They love their volleyball.
Yeah.
And you're talking about two of the biggest countries in the world. So the player pool is not as small as you think it is. All right, coming up next, Dusty Harrow will join us live from Eugene, hopping on from Ducks Media Day and what we learned or didn't learn about the Ducks heading into the season. Coming up here next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
We now go live to down in Eugene where Dusty Harrow is wrapping up Ducks Media Day and wrapping up, all of the medias for all of the days, hopefully for the Big Ten, for the foreseeable future. Dusty, how did Ducks Media Day treat you?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I still wish I was back there with you guys on a Metal Monday. I thought we were going a little bit harder metal with a Dusty-less Metal Monday, so I'm glad I got Linkin Park on the way in. but Ducks Media Day was great down here. It was good to kind of finally see some of the new names and faces of the Oregon program front and center, and now a little bit more comfortable. You know, that's one of the awkward parts is, like, you got the transfer portal, and so guys like Jabbar Muhammad and Kobe Savage, who we didn't really get to hear too much from, now they're more comfortable down here, and they are finding their rhythm in the locker room with teammates and stuff like that, and you can tell there's just a new level of comfort with those guys, and so it's good to kind of connect and hear from them for the first time really ever.
What are our major storylines that are, I guess, being echoed through Ducks Media Day today?
Yeah, I mean, first is Lanning is officially in camp mode. It was the Yuck It Up Pat McAfee show, Coach Lanning. He is now in camp mode. You could tell he's ready to get this thing going. But I think a lot of that has to do with now that it's time to get things going. There's real expectations here. And it's something that I don't think any of these players or coaches are shying away from, is the fact that the expectations that have been heaped upon this team for 2024 by the media and the people who cover college football, they're expected to be a top four team. They're expected to enter the Big Ten and compete for a Big Ten title. And it's no longer, hey, we're going to get there, and we got to, cross these T's and dot these I's. It's go time, and you can kind of feel that and sense that from the players and the coaches that it's business-like moving forward into 2024.
Lanning hopped on with Joel Klatt on Klatt's podcast, and we played a little bit of audio from that earlier, and he essentially said that one of their not necessarily their challenges, but one of the things they have to kind of overcome is recruiting locally is difficult because of Oregon and Washington not being necessarily the hotbeds. And he essentially said it in a way that bringing people from all over the country and having them kind of go through the same shared experiences, it almost sounded like he was saying trauma bonding in the same sense that the military kind of does with with boot camps. Do you think that kind of has a little bit of bearing on how this group is kind of coming together?
No, I do, because if you look down the line and you look at guys that are going to be playing significant snaps from this Oregon Ducks roster this year, I mean, there aren't a lot of local guys. And I mean, you got Bryce Betcher on the defensive side of the ball, who is South Eugene native and two sport athlete. And I got a chance to talk with him today, and he's an outstanding young man. Like he blew me away. It was the first time I'd gotten a chance to talk to Bryce, and he was a great kid. But then you also had Josh Connerly on the offensive side of the ball, and Charlie Pickard, who are, Connerly from Washington and Pickard from Eugene. There aren't a lot of guys that are going to be playing a big role on this team that are local. And you look at where everybody else is from, you go Florida, South Carolina, Texas, Ohio, Illinois. Marcus Harper, talked to him today from, he's from Chicago. You do come from all over the place. And every single guy said, it was hard to get used to the rain. It's a different pace of life. There is a lot to that in that, it's a melting pot, and you kind of, everybody gets pulling in the same direction because one, there's that familiarity of being at home and, people that you grew up with and people you were around since the day you were born, they're thousands of miles away for a lot of these guys in a lot of cases. I think there is a big element to that where, it's almost the people that you're around the most are the ones that you're going to be connected to because you don't have any relationships with anybody else. You don't have any shared experiences really with anybody else that's on this campus because the rest of the student body is from Oregon and California, mostly. Mm-hmm. So there is not a whole lot of common ground except for with the guys that came here for one reason and one reason only, to play football at the University of Oregon.
This time of year, there's always one or two guys that folks didn't expect to necessarily pop, whether it be through workouts, putting on weight, or showing up a step faster, or looking a little crisper, or a better understanding of the playbook. Who are the guys that are the early camp nominees for the guys to watch over the next couple weeks?
Boy, I think that the one thing that kind of kept popping out to me was chemistry in the secondary is big, and there's a lot of guys that are coming back, but a lot of new faces. You get bringing guys like, you know, Jabbar Muhammad from UW and Kobe Savage from Kansas State, and they come in with a level of hype around them. But I think that one thing that really stuck out to me was, you know, guys saying like Tysheem Johnson, he's a guy that he played a big role, especially in that Utah game last year. But you sit there and you keep hearing names pop up again and again and again. I think he's one name to watch. I think Kenyon Sadiq is also another one, the tight end from Idaho, who was a freshman last year. He is an absolute load, and he's a unit. But I think what's interesting about this year and this kind of Oregon roster is that we have heard so much and seen so much about this roster because of, you know, the attention that they have been getting on the national level, that I'm not sure how many guys are going to sneak up on people, you know, because all, you know, every name that I've said are guys that we've heard about and we've followed throughout the fall camp. But I would say if you're looking for guys that are going to play a huge role on this team this year, I think Kenyon Sadiq is a guy whose role will expand as the season goes on, because Terrence Ferguson is an outstanding tight end, Patrick Herbert as well. But the athleticism that Sadiq has, they can move him inside, outside. He can block. He can run. And he is a young buck. So I think that would be the name that I would be watching for.
One of the things when I look at this Oregon team, and you and I talked about this before you went down there this weekend, is Dan Lanning has done something to this program to where it feels like the expectations are so real that anything short of a college football playoff berth is a disappointment. Is that the line? Do you think that they'll never say it publicly, but do you think that is the line for the program?
Yeah, I do. I think that internally that is what they are thinking, and how they feel about this team is not just getting to the college football playoff, but winning games in the college football playoff. I think that is the goal. I mean, we got a 12-team playoff this year. You're in the Big Ten. You got a seat at the big boys table, and you have got a roster that is ready to go. And obviously you're right. They're not going to come out and say, that's our expectation of this year. You know, they're going to give you the cliche week by week, we're just focused on Idaho, yada, yada, yada. But I do believe that if you're looking at where that bar is for this team, it is the college football playoff, and it's a high seed in the college football playoff. You know, it's a first round bye, or you're one of the top seeds hosting in that opening round of the college football playoff. And I don't think they're going to duck or shy away from that, because I mean, that's what they've recruited guys on, you know, is that's what you come here to do. And that's what the goal is when you come to Oregon. And, but you know, they're not going to ever say that publicly to anybody, but we all know that's what they've used in recruiting.
With the Olympics going on right now, we've already seen some crossover where Chase Budinger has gone from the NBA to beach volleyball. I don't know if you've seen the video of Ant Edwards telling the women's U.S. table tennis team that he could get points off them. Who at camp right now
he
is
could not, by the way.
No, not a single point.
No.
This is a two-part question for you. Who at camp is the one person who thinks that they could beat another Olympian in their sport? And who is the most likely person to be able to compete in the Olympics in an event, and what event would it be?
Oh, boy. That's a loaded question there. I think the guy who probably thinks that he could compete in the Olympics, at a variety of sports, Trayshawn Holden, the wide receiver, he is a very confident young man. And he is very athletic, and he's got a huge frame on him too. And I think he's probably the one that thinks that he could do it. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say that a guy that I think could actually compete in the Olympics is, oh boy, You know, the one that I would go with is probably like Josh Connerly in like the shot put or something. Mm. You know, I mean, you're just, when you're that big, long, and you are strong like that, I bet you could make him into a great shot putter. I think like 330 pounds at 6'4" or 6'5" or whatever he is, spinning around and launching a metal ball. I think he'd be really good at that. The other one I would go with is, Bryce Betcher is, he's a two-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to start at linebacker at Oregon, and he was a gold glove winner in baseball and, you know, drafted by the Astros. So he's just a really good athlete. So I don't know what he would do.
That's your Pat Connaughton Memorial Award right there?
That's it right there. Yeah.
Just such a good athlete. Like, you'll find something.
Yeah, he'll do something. I think that, like, he's from Eugene, so it's like mountain biking he's probably really good at. I don't know.
Some hacky sack.
Yeah, the Olympic hacky sack is going to make the return. We'll have breakdancing and hacky sack, and Eugene will just be thrilled.
Is slacklining a Olympic sport yet? How far off are we from that?
You know, last week we had the Ducks on for media day, and you know, we had the talk of putting on weight. Who is the guy that is talked about right now as far as changing their body from last year to this year?
Gosh, that's a great question. They have, like, they've been competing in the weight, like competition in the weight room, I guess, is like the biggest thing. Like, they will. I was talking to Kobe Savage about this, and he said, like, you will literally be looking eye to eye with somebody holding a trap bar, and the first one to drop it, like at the end of their weight training session, the first one to drop it loses, and you're placed into groups. So like, you can't lose. So everybody looks jacked. They've been getting after it in the weight room, but it's from a changing your body standpoint. I may go, Jordan Birch, maybe. Oh. Jordan Birch looks long and like his arms are the size of tree trunks, but he's kind of leaned out in some other places too. He looks good, man. He's huge.
That's a thick boy.
Yeah, he's a thick boy.
When the thick boys start getting things under control, it looks a little more terrifying. All right, man, we're going to let you go on that. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Yes, I will be in tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll get more of the news, notes, and stories from all over Duck Camp tomorrow when you get back to the building. Thanks for taking some time, and safe travels, man.
Love you guys. Bye.
Yep, buddy. That's Dusty here down at Ducks Media Day. Remember, Dusty is the Ducks sideline reporter, and he will have you covered all season long for all of your Ducks coverage, as we will here on Today in the Fan. After this, we will reset and get ready to hand you off to the primetime crew. Come up here next on Danny and Dusty, Today in the Fan. So this one, scroll across the old basketball timeline. If I told you Kevin Durant was first in points per game, field goals made, three-pointers made, and free throws made all time for Team USA, would you believe it?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. That's where he ranks in the pantheon of USA basketball players. He might actually be the greatest male basketball player the country has ever had. It's timing has a lot to do with it, but he's been their most productive scorer. This should not come as a surprise. For everybody out there who's like, Michael Jordan's the best scorer of all time. You can make the argument that Michael Jordan is the best player of all time. I'm not going to argue with you. I have LeBron, but I think you can make an argument either way. I don't care. There is no argument about who the best scorer is in NBA history. It's Kevin Durant, then everyone else can figure it out. It was like, well, LeBron scored more. Kareem scored more. Longevity plays a big part in this. Kevin Durant is basically averaged 28 a game on 50, 40, 90 shooting for his entire career.
It's not bad.
You can argue until you're blue in the face. I don't care. I just don't. Mm-hmm. The man, the least efficient, air quotes, shot in basketball is mid-range pull-up. The guy shoots 55% for his career on it. Like, what do you do with that?
He's all right.
What do you do with that? Oh, by the way, again, he's a 39.7% career three-point shooter, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And what's so funny
basically
is
40.
Yes, what's funny is his free throw percentage is what keeps him out. It's like 88.9.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, how dare he be a percent under, you know, 90% all time from the free throw line.
Come on, man, get in the gym.
Right? And again, in 2006, the All-American game, he was listed at 6'11", 240. No. No. He could be on an airplane and take a medical evacuated poop. And he... There's no thing on this planet that can make me sick enough to convince me that he's 240 pounds. Ever. Yeah. Let alone in 2006, the year before, or the summer before he went to Texas.
Yeah.
Where everybody's like, oh, dear Christ, this man is going to break if he takes another step.
Yeah. Maybe 210? Maybe.
I think Chet is 205 or 210, and they're the same size.
Yeah.
240?
Nah.
Come on, dog. Come on, dog. What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
I am going to go home, and I'm going to spend an inordinate amount of time watching weird Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the show has progressed, my hips have gotten tighter after doing the old Stairmaster for far too long today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be an Olympic couch sitter.
There you go.
Let me tell you, I'm going to gold medal in that sucker tonight. We have now reached the official dog days for the next week. I would say, like, this is, then we get into.
Well, I think really once the Olympics wrap up.
I was just saying, it's another, in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then it gets difficult in here, and maybe I'll take a day off. Maybe not. I'll take a little Izache three day escapade, and not get COVID.
Well, I won't be here Monday and Tuesday next week.
Where are you going?
Anywhere, somewhere.
Manzanita.
It's my birthday next week.
That's right.
Yeah.
55.
Gotta hate you.
I'm getting all my shots in now because I'm the only 30-year-old currently on this roster.
I'll be 48.
I would have thought older.
I know. The gray in my beard betrays me. You jerk.
I'm just going to get as many shots in as I can. God, that's how this goes. It's not like the other guy walking in behind you right now is half your age.
I know, right? I am literally old enough to be his dad.
Yeah.
And like, have it not be a stretch.
It would be pretty funny if you were Ortner's dad. Simply because of the just.
I wonder, how old is your dad, Will?
52, 53.
Okay,
you could legitimately be his father. Yeah. Like,
well, because Will's 26.
Oh, God. So you had been 22, which, I mean, it's not.
Not like I said, that's not a stretch.
Whew.
Yeah, right?
Wow, we are old.
Yeah.
How old's Dirt?
Dirt's, is he late 30s now, too?
Hey, Ordner. I didn't realize.
I'm not sure.
I think that's the case. I think we're looking at Dirt's the youngest, right? Of all the hosts.
I think so.
Okay. I'm smack dab in the middle. I think that's where I'm at.
Gotcha.
But I'll be 40 in a couple months, and boy, am I dreading that. My wife is not letting me off that hook.
Oh, 40 wasn't bad.
I've joked for 20 years, if I make it to 40, it will be a success. Because I know I'm lighthearted about the gallows humor and stuff. Like, there's a half dozen times in my life where I should have died.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately should have died. Not like, I almost died. Like, nope, should definitely be dead. Wrecking a car at 100+ miles an hour and ending up upside down in a tree and walking out without a scratch.
Were you the inspiration for the Final Destination movies?
Look, did you see what happened? One of the logging trucks went through, a log fell off and went through a freaking car, just like the movie, man.
Yep.
But it went in between.
Oof.
You imagine being in that car?
Jeez.
What?
Man. Well, that'd be one where they'd have to turn around and make an emergency landing. Of the biohazard.
Burn that car. Look, man, I don't want it anymore. The bad juju. The first thing I thought was.
It's not bad juju. That's bad doo-doo.
Well, right? The person driving that car, there's a 0% chance they were under 50 years old, because if they were, they would have gotten nowhere near that logging truck.
Exactly.
They'd be like,
That was somebody that has not seen that movie.
Nope. That person was over 50 years old. All right. For everybody over and under 50 years old, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. We love you. Primetime with Isaac and Suk coming up next. I see Suk. Ortner's over there, so he's in for Buck. I don't know if Isaac's here. Isaac's out. So Buck's probably on.
That's
this
why.
Side.
That's why Will's here.
There you go. So it'll be an Isaac, or excuse me, a Buck, Suk, and Ortner edition
believe they call that the SOB edition.
It is the SOB edition. Yes. Strong on the B, that's for sure. All right, for Jeff Ross, Dusty Harris, Down Eugene, the gang will all be back together tomorrow, and we'll dive headfirst into some Duck Media Day goodness as Dusty was down there all day talking to everybody up and down the roster. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful day. Take care. Talk soon. Bye.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.